one.
That's us. Is that you?
Yeah.
Did you just get a text message that we're live? Oh,
yeah, I did. I did. I got a message that we're live, Ryan.
What, no, was that you?
That's us.
Oh.
That's us. Is that you?
Just wait.
Yeah, just get a text message.
Oh,
no, yeah, I did.
What?
Stop talking.
La, 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 la.
There we go. I always forget to mute the YouTube in the background because we're broadcasting live on YouTube. This is pretty exciting. So that's what we look like on YouTube right there, Ruben.
Yeah. This is what I look like in real life.
Hey, welcome, Ruben. Welcome.
Welcome, Ryan.
Yeah, this is exciting. The Rocky series, Going the Distance podcast, originally was called Going the Distance.
Uh-huh.
And it's still called Going the Distance, but it's the Rocky series podcast, Going the Distance. I think it's fair to say that we could tease our viewers and our listeners.
I'll keep them right now.
Yeah, we.
I'm wearing a little something special.
That after the Rocky series, after the Rocky series is done, which one day it will end, one day it will mercifully end for our viewers and listeners. Franchise, it could so be called the.
Can you imagine us tackling Rambo?
True, I can't tackle Rambo, but we can tackle the franchise. So I thought I'm doing this live. I haven't run this by you, but I thought we could. Still call it the Rambo series podcast, semicolon, Going the Distance. So we can go the distance with really, and then after the Rambo franchise, we'll do the Expendables. And after the Expendables, we'll be the Escape Plan franchise.
I can't wait. I love Escape Plan. I love it.
And then from there, we'll just call it the Stallone films, Going the Distance, however we want to do it. Anyways, sure. The idea is that we can make almost this podcast could almost be anything that we go the distance with.
Really? Yes, yes.
It leaves the form that we can go the distance with any topic, because I believe our listeners, they like our banter more than the actual topic we're talking about.
Maybe not. I don't know. Hey, let's start it. No.
Well, before we cue the music.
Okay.
Before we cue the music, hold off on that, Ruben.
All right.
Let's announce what today we're doing. This is episode 43.
43.
We always say this is episode 43. Mm-hmm. Last episode we ended. We had a wrap up party. It was a huge event.
It was a party. Everybody who was everybody was there.
Anyone that was anyone was there.
That's what I just said.
You and I were definitely there. You still got the decorations in the background.
Yeah.
At Ruben's house. So we're live from Ruben Revolcan Studios. Today's episode 43, and we're kicking off season 3. This is officially season 3 launch. And Rocky 3. I'm excited.
I began watching Rocky 3 today.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I just got so jazzed. Cue the music.
I'm excited. This is Rocky 3. But before we get to Rocky 3, Ruben, what did Mr. Stallone do between the movies of Rocky 2 and Rocky 3?
That's a great question. I'm so glad that you asked, Big Brother. We have Nighthawks.
Nighthawks. You know what's funny?
Seinfeld? Seinfeld's funny.
What's the deal with airplane peanuts?
Seinfeld is funny.
Jim Gaffigan.
I bet you're like, what's going on? And they're just like, I'm just here for the 99 cent ATM. What are you doing here, Jim? I'm just meeting a hooker.
Jim Gaffigan is funny. But what's funnier is 90% sure I've seen Nighthawks, but if I ever seen it, it was a long time ago, and I don't think I've ever seen it since I think I've seen it.
Okay.
It's the movie that Stallone has a beard.
The movie, like throughout the whole movie, because he has a beard in
Rocky IV, and he's rocking the Rocky beard here in Nighthawks. Now, let's give the synopsis here.
Well, if I recall correctly, Ryan, it's a conservative street cop, Da Silva.
Mm-hmm.
He reluctantly agrees to terminate an international terrorist who has demanded media attention. At home tactics, are very much put to the challenge.
Okay, so Nighthawks, Stallone's playing a cop, which he's done a few times in a lot of movies. And this is
Copland.
Copland.
One of my favorite.
Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot. He played a cop in that one as well. What I love about Nighthawks is, spoiler alert, Stallone cross-dresses in the movie.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
With a beard?
With a beard. I don't want to spoil anything, but he lures a killer as bait. He pretends he's a woman to kill what he thinks will be a woman, but it's Stallone in drag.
Is there nothing that that man can't do?
Nothing. Hey, Stallone in Drago! get it? Stallone in Drago?
Oh.
Okay. That was bad.
Yeah, right. It was.
I think you and I should reinvestigate that movie and watch it and report on it.
Yeah, now that I know that he's in drag, I got so much reason to watch it.
It has Billy Dee Williams in it as
well. Billy Dee Williams.
Stallone loves to place himself with charismatic black guys, doesn't he?
Billy Dee Williams has an ongoing segment on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Okay.
Where there's like plate collections for Dashian plate collection.
Okay.
Where he plays like an infomercial where you can buy this plate collection. And Billy Dee Williams is always the guy selling the
plates. Oh, he's got a great voice for that. I could see him doing that. He has a great voice for that type of commercials and stuff.
He plays Sergeant Matthew Fox, not to be confused with the actor Matthew Fox from Lost.
All right, cool. So Billy Dee Williams and Sylvester Stallone are partners in that movie Nighthawks. Okay, so that was a
6.4 out of 10. That's pretty good.
That was user rating, so that's not too bad. 13,000 people voted on International Movie Database, and they gave it 6.4 out of 10. So it's a solid movie, and I know from a lot of people that have seen the movie, you're not going to be bored watching this movie. Mm-hmm. And then he followed it up with another solid movie where he plays a goalie. He plays a goalie in based on a true story, a movie called Victory, or sometimes referred to as Escape to Victory. And the first time I actually saw this movie, Ruben, I think it was in school, in elementary school.
Oh, really?
It. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I never saw it in the theater, and our parents never rented it.
I always love when teachers showed stuff at school.
I just got to pop my ear here.
You popping your ear? Or the eustachian tube that connects your ear and your mouth?
Yes. It's like a cracking or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a eustachian tube disorder. I have that. It could be genetic. I stopped having it when I stopped having dairy all the time.
Oh, I don't do that much dairy. But anyway, so Escape to Victory is a soccer movie. It is as Allied POWs prepare for a soccer game against the German national team to be played in Nazi-occupied Paris. The French resistance and British officers are making plans for the team's escape. So,
did you hear how Trump said Nazi?
How did he say it?
Nazi.
The Nazis.
Well, Trump is nauseating.
That's right. It's such a common word.
The Nazi. So I love it. You know,
speaking of words, you can say pronounce things differently or have a different word altogether. Now, of course, for our friends across the pond, this is not a soccer game, but a football game.
Okay, that's right. My apologies. So Escape to Victory is a soccer. Sorry, is for our American and Canadian friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soccer game, yes. But for our European and the rest of the world friends, it is referred to as football. Football.
Hold on a second here.
What's that?
Did they play Americans that were POWs?
I believe Stallone and the gang were prisoners of war. And they were forced to basically play their captors, the Germans, in a game of soccer. And they were going to use the game of soccer to escape their prison camp during the game.
That's a true story?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
All right. Yeah. Again, it's another solid film, 6.6 out of like 13,000 odd. And Stallone played Captain Robert Hatch.
Oh,
Michael Caine's in it. Yeah,
I just saw Michael Caine this week in what's that movie called? Morgan Freeman,
The Players or something, or
Going Out of Style.
Going Out of Style.
Yeah, yeah. Directed by Zach Braff from Scrubs.
Oh, Zach Braff directed it.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, I like Zach Braff.
Yeah, I like him too, and I enjoy Scrubs. I haven't seen them all, but it's a fun. I have such a crush on that blonde-haired actress in the Scrubs movie. She's
from Roseanne.
Was she in Roseanne?
Yeah, I believe so.
And speaking of Roseanne, they're planning on doing a reboot or not a reboot. Holy snikes.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry, guys.
Okay. That was all over my computer.
Oh, let's share DNA.
Roseanne's doing not a reboot, but they're going to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Revive.
Yeah. They're bringing it back.
And reboot. I think reboot's no.
No, but it's with the cast, like John Goodman, Roseanne Barr.
You know, I love John Goodman. So few actors are able to transition from a sitcom. Acting, like, I'm sure he's been nominated for an Oscar.
He's actually a really good actor. Very good actor.
He's a very good actor. Right?
He does the comedy, drama, and plays a bad guy very well. All that stuff. Good thing. But here's the interest: both Roseanne and John Goodman have lost a lot of weight in their.
Well, yeah, they're half the person needs to be.
That's right. Together, maybe they won't have to pay as much. Okay. Yeah. So these are two solid movies. So Stallone, two movies between Rocky 2 and 3, two solid movies: Escape to Victory and Nighthawks. Now let's get to Rocky 3. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely.
How excited are you, listening audience, that we're going to talk about Rocky 3? This movie, it's actually insane compared. Rocky 1 and 2 are almost like a 3.5 hour, you know, like Godfather 1 and Godfather 2 are almost like the same movie in a way. Like, it's just the same story, same atmosphere. And I'm not saying the same in a bad way. I'm just saying Rocky 1 and 2 are kind of like in the same universe. But Rocky 3, it's like, it's the same people, but something happened in the 80s.
Everything's different. The environment is different. Because you had Rocky, who was aspiring to make something of his life.
Right.
And he's going from a place that smells.
Right.
To a palace.
His mansion does not stink. Do you think Rocky ever went around?
Unless Pauly was in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Rocky 3, let's start at the very, what happens at the very beginning? At the very beginning, the film opens up. What
have
we got?
The last fight. Which is great, because back then, you would see it in the theater, and then you'd wait a year or two, and then you'd see it in the theater again.
Oh, we should have written down what year was Rocky 2 released in the Rocky. I think Rocky
was released
83, in, I believe, or 82, or I think 82.
Rocky 2?
No, Rocky, sorry, Rocky 2 was in 79, I believe.
Rocky 2 was 79.
And Rocky 3 was 82, so 3 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you're saying, Ruben, 3 years from 79 to 82 is actually a lifetime with no social media. There was no internet. There was no Twitter, Instagram account. So
no MySpace.
No MySpace. The MySpace was just around the corner. I think it came out in 85. Right? The only thing that you had to keep in the public eye back then was literally what was in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Then maybe what was on the cover of entertainment magazines, like People and what have you. And then what was in the video store shelves. And even back then, 80,
was there videos?
I was just going, 82, yes. People owned VHSs and machines back then, but that was like owning, boy.
Well, I'm sure we've mentioned this before.
Yes. My first time seeing when I was, a guy had a VCR in his home, and it was the remote was still connected to the VCR.
Yeah.
And I was blown away that he could watch whatever movie he had at the time, whenever he wanted.
I was blown away. Remember the McHughes? Russ McHugh?
Yeah.
Their TV, the remote was attached to their TV. So they could sit on the couch. Like, it had a cord.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, it's crazy. They didn't have to get up to turn the channel.
No,
that's amazing.
I know. It's like,
that's amazing.
Wow.
Technology. So it kind of makes sense of the Rocky films. And I think they're one of the first films to kind of do this, certainly in a franchise situation, to say, hey, this is what happened previously on the storyline. But it also gets you, we talked about this before, it gets you psyched up again.
I actually got teared up when he said my wife's at home. I know that's happened.
I do too, Ruben. I think I didn't get as teared up this time because I was watching this critically, mm-hmm. and I was doing this for the podcast, so mm-hmm. I had to stay strong. I had to stay focused.
Okay, you're saying that I'm not focused?
I'm saying that you have the ability Okay. Oh, first off, I want to give a shout out. This is we're going to do this every now and then. I hope you don't mind, Ruben. We're going to give a shout out to some of our fellow podcasters out there. I don't
know. You remember Boomerang? No. Romper Room. They had the mirror.
That's right.
Without the mirror in it, and she would look through it.
This might be just Canadian show. So there's a kids show. When we were kids, there was a kids show called Romper Room. And I think it might have been just Canada. I don't know. But it's called Romper Room.
Yeah, you might be right, yeah.
And this lady, at the end of the show, she would bring up a mirror, like a handheld mirror. But the mirror had no – it was just an empty, like, frame. And you'd see her face through this mirror that didn't have glass. But she would say, I see Steven, I see Johnny, I see Michael, I see Stacy, I see – and she goes, and I'll see you all next week.
Time for me to see the friends at home in the magic mirror. Romper bomper, stomper boo, tell me, do. Magic mirror, tell me today, did all my friends have fun at play? All my friends had fun today. I see David's having a special day today, and Olivia Joy had a special day on Sunday. I see Robin had a special day yesterday, and Dana's having a special day today, and so is Reginald and Edward John and Margaret. And I see Justin and Megan and Courtney and Brick and Mark and Rachel and Sheila and Caroline are all having special days, and Cicely and Ashley and Matthew and Jose, and I see Bonnie and Anthony and Joe had special days yesterday, and so did Tammy and Brandon and Gregory, and of course, friends, you know I see you, and I'll see you again.
Right, and then, of course, Ruben and I would sit there waiting at the screen.
Back in the – there was no Ryans back then.
And there was really no Rubens.
There still isn't.
And so we would have hoped there – and it's like, well, I'm here. Say my name. Anyways.
So we're going to say some names.
We're going to name names. We're going to drop some truth bombs here.
Can I drop one before you drop one?
Go ahead.
Because I've been meaning to do this for a while.
Okay.
Nathan Smith.
Hey, yeah. Shout out to Nathan. Does he want us to say his name?
I don't know.
Apparently, he's a listener of the podcast.
Yeah, he's listening to everyone. So, shout out.
Nathan, thank you for your support.
Nathan.
Here's a shout out to a podcast. You can find them on any iTunes podcast app, just like you can find us on anything that streams or does podcasts. You just Google the podcast name anyways. But it's called Weekly Top 6. I say again, Weekly Top 6. They're a newer podcast. They've got about 10 episodes out. They're really cool. They're really great. Basically, the premise is there's two friends. Actually from Philadelphia. They come up with like weekly top 6 ideas. Like their first episode was their weekly top guilty pleasures. They have weekly guilty pleasures.
This week
my guilty. And they have 6 of them a week. All right. No, my apologies, guys. They have topics every week that deal with 6 different I'm butchering this. You guys are gonna hate me. They're called the weekly top 6. They rank things out of, you know, 6 to 1. And the first episode was guilty pleasures, for example. And then they did like movie villains. They've done all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of really cool. And how I came across them was when they did movie villains, they hashtag Drago. And so I listened to their episode where they were talking about Drago. And I liked their style. I liked their jive. We're going to do a crossover episode with them. We are going to do one with them. So if you want to get how they sound, because you know how we sound, weekly top 6. We're going to do top six Stallone movies that are not a franchise. So you can't do Guardians of the Galaxy. You can't do Escape Plan. You can't do Expendables. And you certainly can't do Rambo and Rocky. So anything that he has done a franchise on does not count. So it's the 6 top Stallone movies. And what happens is me, Ruben, and I believe their name is Michael. And I'm doing this off my head. Michael and Adam. Okay. If I butcher the names, I apologize. But anyways, so we're excited for that. That's coming up. All right, that shout out is done, and I butchered it because it was off the top of my head. I apologize. Okay.
I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm jealous of the idea. It was a very good idea.
We're 43 episodes in, and we're starting Rocky 3, so we have a lot of material. But I see some of these other guys on their podcast, and I really admire some of the things people come up with. But hey, we're Ryan and Ruben. You know, I think we're good to go. Well, this recap was pretty quick. The Rocky recap of Rocky 2 was approximately 2 minutes, which is a little bit faster than some of the other recap. Or,
well, it's the 80s. Times are fast. The attention spans are down. There was like 57 channels. Oh, by then? No, there wasn't.
True. Bruce Springsteen's, I think it's 55 channels.
It's 57 channels. Why would he even?
Is it 57 channels?
Yeah.
50, I guess, yeah.
55 channels?
Yeah. 55 channels. You're right. 57 channels.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
It's funny when Bruce Springsteen wrote that song, 57 channels and nothing on.
That was
it's ridiculous, Bruce. Yes. Who has 57 channels? But now that's
Bruce
like,
did.
Yeah.
He had Born in the USA money.
So 57 channels and nothing on, that's your basic cable package now.
Oh, excuse me.
All right.
Okay. That's always a good thing to have on a podcast.
It's a good yawn.
It's a good yawn. Yeah.
I want to talk about a mistake that I made regarding Talia Shire. The reason why she wasn't in the ring for the filming of Rocky II.
Do you know what? If you made a mistake, I made a mistake, Ryan. I should have caught up. I should know. You should. I take equal blame.
Okay, well, Ruben takes equal blame.
I've been pulling my hair out over this.
It shows. Shire was filming a movie at the time. So it was just a scheduling of conflict of movies. I forget the name of the movie. If you go to Talia Shire, it actually sounds kind of interesting. I think it's called Ex-Boyfriends or something like that. Or...
All right, I hear you. Okay, there's a way.
All right, so it was just a conflict of schedule. That's all there was to it. But that being said, what I find confusing about that, if you go online, you'll see pictures of Talia Shire in Rocky's arm in the victorious pose at the end of the fight. So I understand that there was a conflict of filming interests, but I'm confused about they obviously took a picture.
Old boyfriends. Mistakes, Ryan.
Yeah. So click on that. The old boyfriends. It sounds really good. It's actually interesting. Who's in it? I think John Voight's in it. Sorry, John Belushi and Keith Carradine, which is funny. Keith Carradine is a great actor. Really great in Dexter, by the way. Okay. Yeah. So she was filming that. It's about
old boyfriends.
Old boyfriends.
Yeah.
All that being said, what I found really cool, Ruben, you talk about getting teared up, and Talia Shire, her acting in that, because now it's even more better. Now it's really interesting. Her acting is even more phenomenal because she's crying, saying, I love you. And we know she's, but not only that, Stallone's not even there while he's filming the scene, but like it's out of sequence.
Okay, right now, let's try to cry.
No,
just like tear up.
Try to cry?
Yeah.
Don't, I can't. What are you doing?
I'm trying to cry.
It's embarrassing.
Does my face look different on this webcam?
You do look different with your glasses off.
All right, so I couldn't cry. So no, hats off to Talia. Maybe she takes more time to prep for that. You got to prime the pump a little bit.
It's crying's hard to do, like on command and especially with people who are watching and I don't know.
Yeah, camera crew, lighting. Okay, Talia, ready for you to cry.
Yeah, no kidding. So this, I love this movie. This movie starts off with a montage of the previous end fight. It's pieced together, tells you, and then it kicks in. The music kicks in, and what kicks in, Ruben? Eye of the Tiger.
Okay, I was watching with the lyrics, the subtitles.
Yeah, closed caption.
Closed caption, sure.
Yeah,
whatever you want to call it. The words,
right?
I love that song.
It's the way that song builds up in that movie. I don't think, and I'm including the Rocky theme and all that stuff, I'm going to say it right now, there's something magical about him winning the title. Mickey gives him the hug in the ring. Adrian says, I love you. And then it just gets quiet for a second, and you get that slow build. Are you going to go back to this chorus of these kids? This is the kids singing Eye of the Tiger. All right.
Anyways,
it's a great song.
It is a great song.
Survivor. Lee Singer's dead.
You know what? You're setting yourself up for failure.
You really shouldn't call yourself Survivor. The name of the band should have been, we'll give it all we got. We'll stick around as long as we can. Touring as a band called Survivor when your lead singer's dead?
I believe that's irony. I think that's the word you're looking for there, Ryan.
No, may he rest in peace. All joking aside, I mean, we all got to pass this mortal coil at some point, but keeps on living with the music, Eye of the Tiger, definitely their biggest hit.
I admire that after writing that song, they're like, let's write another song. Do you think this is just as good as Survivor?
I don't think they ever matched the Eye of the Tiger success.
Do you know, can you name one other song?
Well, yeah, they did one on Burning Heart on Rocky IV.
Well, you know,
Burning Heart, about to burst. Double check. I think that's them. See, I'm gonna. I can see. I have the beauty of editing this out if I'm wrong. Yeah, Survivor.
Wouldn't that be great just to do it like in real life?
I know. Well, that was what Groundhog Day was all about. You know, he made mistakes and then he
Thinking like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I've seen that movie since the first time the only time I've seen it. You know, it's one of those movies I saw
at your house.
Oh,
yeah, okay. with Jay.
Okay, cool.
Shout out to our Jim Carrey fans out there. The music kicks and then the montage kicks. And now I'm telling you guys right now, buckle in, because I think the remainder of this episode 43 is dealing just with the opening montage. I kid you not, because we're already at...
Well, Ryan told me he made notes. Like, that's what you see, like, when it was like a murder scene.
Okay. I made 4 pages, single space, double-sided notes of the opening Eye of the Tiger montage. There's some golden stuff in this montage that I stopped every frame change to catch it all, because I figured if there's ever going to be a time to dissect this montage is now. So we have the what was previously on montage.
Yeah.
Then we have a montage, and it's going to get really meta in a minute because we have a montage within the montage. It's crazy. We'll get to it. Okay. So the montage starts off with the idea of what's happened between 1979 and 1982 in Rocky's life in those 3 years, because Paulie does mention later that it's been 3 years since Rocky II. So we get to kind of see Rocky's life in snapshots and video of what he's done with his title defenses, with his jobs and advertising commercials. We're going to get to that. So let's start off right away. Opening montage, Eye of the Tiger. Oh, by the way, that was a demo. That was the demo. It wasn't actually the finished studio version that we hear today on YouTube. And it's the same to me, but apparently it's the demo.
All right. I believe you.
All right.
I believe
you. Rocky is just at the peak of his physique, his career, and his bravado in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in the first fight we see, fight number one, I call it. So just so you know, in the montage, there is 13 Stallone Rocky fights. 13.
But they said that he defended
the title. Yeah, that's right. He defended the title 10 times, but he had 13, according to the montage, 13 different opponents. So we can assume that at least 3 of those weren't title defenses. They could have been exhibition fights. Like, he did fight a German.
Well, he's a bit of an expositionist, as we learned in Kitty.
He has exhibited his buttocks a few times in a few movies. Okay. But I think our fans will like this. I think Rocky fans will like this.
I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to put myself in a happy place.
No, I want you to chime in.
I'm on a bear rug.
Oh, boy. Just pretend you're on a bear rug. Okay, so the first fight we see, the first guy that he fought was a black guy. No name was given to the fighter.
In the credits, too?
Well, I mean, just like for the montage, because some of the guys got names. That's all. Just out of curiosity, some of the opponents got names, some didn't. Just because of the editing, not everyone got a name.
Yeah.
So his unnamed opponent, the audience that he's fighting in front of for his first title defense is huge.
Yeah.
It's a huge venue.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know what stock footage they used. Obviously, it wasn't Stallone there, because it was panned out really far. You just see two fighters in the ring for the panned out shot. And just the audience around the ring, it looked like WrestleMania 3. Like, it was just a big fight. But, of course, within the Rocky universe, it was still a huge audience. So his first title defense was a big draw. You can get that from that.
So my guess is that his name in real life is Bob Miner.
How do you know that?
I'm looking at the credits of the movie.
Yeah.
The Challengers. The first one's Bob Miner.
Okay, so if you were to go in order of the Challengers, I'll go back to that room. This is actually on the film credits itself. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So almost, I have 13, but they could have easily used, there's some that were so quick, we'll get to that, that they could have easily just used somebody else. I mean, use somebody twice for the same fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I liked first off about Rocky was he was wearing matching gold and black gloves and trunks. It's kind of his little style.
Well, it goes with the black leather jacket with the tiger on it, the black and yellow.
Yes, black and yellow, yeah. The color of a tiger. Did you catch that?
I think it's Bob Miner.
Oh, here's Bob Miner.
Yeah.
And
big, brawny, imposing actor, stuntman, Bob Miner.
All right.
Born in 44.
He's still alive. We're going to get him on the horn, Rue. He just finished a movie.
Yeah, 90 Minutes of the Fever.
90 Minutes of the Fever.
He's a stunt coordinator.
Good for him. So he's probably not doing the stunts anymore at his age, but he coordinates the stunts. So the first fight that we see, his title defense, we get a shot of Paulie in the crowd. And Paulie's first shot.
He's such a good actor.
Burt Young, great actor. His first look that we see as an audience member is actually the first. Now, this is what I find interesting. So Rocky is defending his title for the first time.
Mm.
Already, Pauly resents Rocky.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been 3 years. This is whatever. This is the first title defense. This would have been a matter of months after the end of Rocky II. I'm not trying to, you know, critique the writing too much. I know it's a movie and we have to kind of get into this universe really quickly, but it's just funny how the character's already like looking at Rocky, like, I've got ringside seats to a, you know, an incredible event. It's my brother-in-law in the ring defending, and he's just won his first title defense. And he's just like, nope, not going to like this.
Let's see what says it was him.
Yeah. And Adrian though, just loving it on the ringside, just loving it. She's clapping. She's love. So remember Adrian and Rocky 1-2, the reluctant boxing wife,
mm-hmm.
but now she's loving it. We'll find out later why. But now this is all insinuation because we know in Rocky 1, she just didn't get the boxing thing. Rocky 2, she was afraid for Rocky's health, his eye, brain damage. But we know in Rocky 3 that the fights that he had between Rocky 2 and the events of Rocky 3, we know they weren't dangerous fights the way they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see, we'll talk about that later. But we see right now that Adrian's loving Rocky in the ring. Mm-hmm. She's wearing nice clothes. She looks all made up. This is a big night. She's going out to watch Rocky defend the title. And he wins, and she's clapping. And Rocky, at the end of every fight, blows kisses to Adrian. Obviously blows kisses, and Adrian waves and kisses back. So we see it right there. You know, they love each other. Sure. It's great. It's really good. So this is just the first fight.
It's like Celine Dion winking and – little
to her husband,
the old man that was her manager when she was a young.
I think she was 14.
I think it's like 12 or something like that.
But he waited.
He
waited till she was legal. He fell in love with her at 12 or 13. But he waited. Bless his heart. May he rest in peace.
Moving on.
So the second fight, we have a name. Title defense was Joe Czak. Czak. So that was the name of the individual. It won't be in the credits. His boxing name. Yeah, his boxing name was Joe Czak. And this fight was held at the Radio City Music Hall. Can you Google that? Yeah, Radio City Music Hall.
Why Google?
I just want to see what the capacity of that venue is. Why?
Well, that's the actor.
Well, you got Joe Czak?
Julius Lafour.
And he's still around.
Wow. He does stunts. He's one of the same movies as Bob Miner did.
So Ruben's just Googled the actors that fought Rocky. Uh-huh. It makes sense they're stunt doubles, because let's be honest here, the way they get clobbered in the ring, they're flying against the ropes, they're hitting the canvas hard, they're stunt doubles.
So Radio City Music Hall, 6,000.
Okay, so it must be, it's a historic.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I know it, but of course it is. Okay, it's an entertainment venue. I know it's located in Rockefeller Center in New York City, and I know that the nickname is the showplace of the nation, but
you just didn't know it was famous or not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The Radio City Music Hall held Rocky's second fight or title defense. We don't know which ones are title defenses or what, because again, there's 13 opponents, but he had 10 title defenses. So this is a smaller venue compared to that first one. That first one was huge.
Yeah.
The first one looked like it had 40,000 people. This one now has 6,000 people. In this fight, it was on closed circuit. It was on closed circuit. Tonight's event is on closed circuit. Mickey's in the corner, and he's still very enthusiastic. So whatever he's doing for Rocky, protecting him, as we know later, he's still very enthusiastic, very in the corner trainer. He's looking out for his man, Rocky. And the same cut guy that was in Rocky 2 was also next to Mickey throughout this. Again, Adrian is very happy in the crowd, loving this victory. And Pauly, though, has upped his game here. He's now drinking.
Yeah.
He takes a sip of – he brought in some alcohol to calm himself for how he's feeling. Like, Rocky getting his victory for his second fight.
I think he might be an alcoholic.
He might be an alcoholic. That will come to play very soon.
And it might not feel like it's very soon if you're listening to the podcast, but you're just watching in real time.
Yes. I you got to break this down because there's a lot that goes on. And I've seen this opening montage a million times. There's things I picked up here. Like, did anyone know that Joe Czak was the second contender at the Radio City Music Hall that was in closed caption?
I think Joe knew
Closed that. Circuit, sorry.
All right. He was our second black individual. Our third contender was another black man. And his name was – now, his name – I love his name. His name was Big Yank Ball. Big Yank Ball.
12 years old?
All right.
No, come on.
Played by
– I'm just saying, like –
Well, I'm sure they had some fun
doing. No, but I don't understand. I don't know. Like, I guess Yank is American. Big American. And his last name was Ball.
Played by, I believe, Anthony or Tony Brubaker.
Oh, so he is credited as Big Yank Ball.
Who is a stunt coordinator again.
Okay, so our third stuntman.
And he's worked on some really good stunts in Anarchy. The Lone Ranger,
was his last one, yeah.
Fast and the Furious Spider-Man franchise.
Too. Now this guy, well, I can see, I know why they had, I know why Big Yank Ball was a stunt man, because the guy flies in the air, like he literally gets punched by Rocky, and he flies backwards, like levitates and hits the ropes.
I did that too. I'm not proud of that.
You punched?
I didn't punch.
You threw him?
It's a very long story.
Okay.
Okay. But long story short, he was getting on my nerves.
Sure.
Like, look, if you say duh to me once more, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Duh?
Duh. Like, duh. Oh. Duh. He was trying to get under my things. He's a little guy, and I'm, depending on the size you are, I'm a bigger guy.
Sure.
I was in the kitchen making something. It was like a, what should I call it? It was a bachelor suite. There's an ironing board against the wall, and then like a couch thing. I just went at him. And I just hit him like that. He literally, and I'm not exaggerating. There's other people there.
He big yank balled it?
He big yank balled it right over the ironing board and landed in the chair.
Oh, wow.
And I'm so glad I didn't punch him. You know, sometimes you think you want to punch somebody. I'm glad that I didn't.
You know what? I think the the push on the chest is actually more effective, more powerful.
It scared him.
Sure. Did he say duh one more time?
No, we smoothed things over. But anyways, so yeah, it can happen.
So the third fight, I apologize for laughing. It's funny, when I wrote down Big Yank Ball in my notes, it didn't occur to me until I said it out loud. It's like, okay. So he flies into the ropes. Mm-hmm. Now, this is our first scene. It was fight number three that we see Clubber Lang in the crowd. Clubber Lang is now checking out the fights of Rocky.
I gotta tell you, it's been a while since I've seen Rocky III. And I see, you know, Mr. T all the time. Like, he was in Dancing Stars recently. I was kind of surprised the shape that man was in.
Oh, it's incredible.
Holy cow.
Clubber Lang is a beast.
They cast them well.
There's a reason why you call him Mr. T. You don't call him T. Now, what I love about this, so after Rocky punches the guy, goes up in the air, hits the ropes, Clubber Lang stands up after that, stands up, and a look of part disbelief and anger.
Okay. To act, you gotta have some chops. I was surprised also how well he acted, Mr. T.
He actually was nominated for a Raspberry Award for this performance. I think, for real.
Who cares?
I know. Those are such bitter people to do those awards. I really think they are. Stallone's been nominated for and won or whatever. I think it's just a bunch of, I don't know. They act like I don't understand. They act like every acting job has to be like every movie has to be Casablanca or Gone with the Wind. Like, why can't it's entertaining? This movie, you ask anyone that watches the Rocky series religiously, Rocky 3 and 4, though not the thespian of film that, you know, Rocky 1, 2, and 6 are, 5 is a better film than Rocky 3 and 4. You know what I mean? It's more of a film than a movie.
You're right about the Raspberry, by the way. He was nominated for.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So this is a movie that you're entertained watching. You're not watching Clubber Lang to be, oh, that was incredible. No, but at the same time, the charisma
charisma.
Like, I don't know
what that star factor. There's a reason why we all know his name and nobody knows his mine.
The guys are on the Raspberry Awards.
Exactly.
So, anyways, okay. So the fourth fight. The fourth victim, I call these fights, but they're really just like literally split second opponents, is our first white opponent. Lou Ferrigno. Good old Lou. Yeah, he's got a Raspberry Award for what? And Hercules.
You know, if anything, he should get a Raspberry Award for his I'd interviewed him one time.
Yeah,
that was terrible. So terrible. Yeah.
Lou Fregno in Hercules. So I like how it says Lou Fregno in, for the movie Hercules, playing Hercules. Like, we needed to know what role he was playing.
He was the one that was in distress.
Yeah. So Lou Fregno in Hercules played Hercules. Go figure. Okay. So the fourth fight was a white guy, our first white opponent. He had no name given in the credit or in the fight sequence. He destroys this guy, but this was in Rome. This fight was in Rome. But what's interesting is this fight was in Rome. The guy looked Italian. He had an Italian mustache. He had chest hair. He was full. You remember our last episode? We're talking about how Sylvester Stallone is Italian, but he's hairless.
Yes.
Well, I wrote notes here as I'm pausing and watching this. Uh-huh. I'm pausing, writing notes, and I said, "Oh, they're in Rome," because they showed a montage of them flying. And it said Rome, and so like, good. He's fighting the fellow Italian. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is really cool. He's fighting this Italian in Rome.
Uh huh.
And he knocks him out. Before I forget, every single one of these fights, every single 13 of the all 13 of these fights, they're all knockouts.
He had the eye of the tiger.
He destroyed them all. They like every punch, every punch that knocked him out was lethal, brutal, and they sent them flying out of the ring. Like, it's just amazing. We'll get to them. So this guy got knocked out. What I love is it quickly cuts to him blowing kisses to Adrian, right? He has a towel. Next thing we have, he has a towel over his shoulder. I still landing it. Like, what I love is the guy is still on the canvas. His team hasn't come over there yet. But Rocky now has a towel over his shoulder.
Yes.
But he picks the guy up. But then the headline on the newspaper after this fight says, knocks out German champ. So we flew to Rome. The guy looks Italian because we're in Rome, but I guess he was German and he was the champ.
Maybe they were filming Rocky 3 when they were filming Victory.
Yeah, they got confused between Victory and Rocky 3. And then the sub-headline was Rocky captures hearts of European fight fans. So he's becoming more of a global. So now by fight 4, defense title 4, he's now becoming a bit of a global sensation. He's now reaching, again, there's no internet. He's really got to promote himself intercontinentally, and he has. He's now fought the German champion in Rome.
I would venture.
Who looks Italian.
I would venture to say that I wasn't alive or wasn't alive and aware back then.
In 83?
I was alive.
You were six years old.
The same age as my daughter.
Yeah.
So your view on the world's a little different, right? But my guess is that people would know then as they do now what's going on. For example, I just saw the movie The Last City of Zed.
How was that?
The book's really good. The movie's really good, but the movie didn't do justice to the book.
So yeah. see the movie. See the movie first, then read the books.
The book's amazing. But the movie is good. You watch the movie.
If you watch the movie, never read the book, you probably enjoy it more, right?
Yeah, but the book's so good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So good. Anyway,
see the movie, then read the book.
Long story short, it's a true story about an explorer that went to the Amazon jungle like 100 years ago, and it's really amazing. Second trip into the Amazon was financed by the papers in America, though he was an English explorer. So it really is Lost City of Zed, not Z, because he's an English explorer. Readership, like 40 million.
What did?
His expedition to the Amazon, because he would write letters.
Right.
And then
they get
published in these newspapers, right?
Right.
So everybody in the world kind of knew about
40
this.
Million?
40 million.
Back then?
We got to think. There's no internet.
That was the whole world.
There's no internet. There's no TV.
That's crazy.
Everybody gets your news through that. So everybody,
yeah, it's the paper. It was.
You want to know what's going on. You want to know what's happening around the world.
I think the news back then wasn't as fake as it is now. I think there was more honesty in journalism. I think in the 1900s and like early 1900s.
I imagine so. I got no reason to believe otherwise.
So now we're back stateside. So he's done capturing the hearts of European fight fans.
Uh-huh.
He's hugged he's hugged his opponent for the first time. Uh-huh. That we see.
And it happens to be.
It just happens to be a fellow Italian. That's all I'm saying. German Italian. Are there German Italians? Anyway, Italian German, maybe.
I know, as he's saying.
Yeah.
That was a dumb joke.
Now we start seeing Rocky on the cover of magazines. The first magazine he's on. Now,
there's three fights that happen in a row very quickly. Fight 5, 6, and 7. They're all, again, non-white. And he just one punch. There are three different victories in a row. And during this montage, Ring magazine.
I love the magazine montage.
Yeah.
He's on this cover, this cover.
He's on the cover of Vogue.
Uh-huh.
And then he's on the cover of People magazine.
Mm-hmm.
With Adrian, they're holding each other.
Yeah.
And the title is Rocky's Revenge. So at this point of the magazine's release,
yes,
he's defended his title at least 6 or 7 times. And won single-handedly all these matches. He's a multi-millionaire. He's a world-famous boxer.
I want to go Google Stallone cover on People magazine and how Google, like, predicts.
Yeah, Google Stallone nude. Second Google
and then suggestion. Awards, Oscar, movies.
Hey, Ruben, what have you been searching for on your Stallone nude? Anyways, Rocky's Revenge. What could the story have been? The cover photo could have been a nicer photo. It was him holding his wife. It says Rocky's Revenge. What, he got the girl after all? Or what? Like, what? I don't understand what the revenge was.
I think this is like a fighting word.
I know. Maybe the revenge of his past, you know.
Just false news.
False news. Now we're on to the 8th fight of the montage. Another dark-skinned fellow with curly hair knocks him to the canvas. Number 9 fight. This one's interesting. The number 9 fight is a white fella. And his name, I call him the Chuck Wepner looking guy. Interesting enough, both of the white guys now that he's fought.
What's this?
80s? Boxing with a mustache, though. But wouldn't boxing with a mustache be really irritating?
Well, I don't think you're naive. Well, maybe you are.
I am naive.
I don't know about mustaches and boxing. Maybe you are. What do you know about mustaches and boxing, Ryan?
I know that, A, it looks terrible.
Okay.
You could argue that it might be cushion. Like, a bit of, maybe the mustache deflects. I don't know.
Well, when you mentioned the body hair on the Nazi Italian, that was my thought. It was like just like the...
Yeah, he had chest hair. It was like
hitting it. You pull out the chest hair.
It was the German Roman fighter. He had bushy hair, mustache, chest hair. He was looking for a rug burn the whole time. The Chuck Wepner looking guy, he had a mustache. He got knocked out pretty easy. In fact, if you still shot that fight, it looks like Rocky bag tags him. We put that on our Facebook. Go to our Facebook feed. You'll see it on this link. Rocky bag tags Chuck Wepner. On the cover of Newsweek as well. Okay.
Ryan.
Yeah, there you go. People, Rocky's Revenge. Oh, no, that's someone did that. Somebody changed that. That's not in the film. Ruben just put up Rocky's Revenge. Somebody put Rocky's Revenge. His marriage is on the ropes, but Sloan's hit sequel has KO'd his detractors. That's...
Are you sure?
Oh! I see what they did here. Okay, stand by, everyone. Okay, let me... So Ruben Googled People Rocky's Revenge. In the film version, it's People Rocky's Revenge, but nothing underneath. There's no storyline. People magazine did do an article on Rocky's movie, Rocky 3. And it says here, Sly with Rocky 2 co-star Talia Shire in the photo. Okay, great. This was released July 23rd, 1979. Oh, okay. So this article was about Rocky 2.
This is an instance
of life and art. Yes. Thank you, Ruben. So People magazine, but they took out that his marriage is on the ropes, but Stallone's hit sequel has KO'd his detractors.
Because it's Stallone's marriage is on the ropes.
Yes. Which makes sense because he did get divorced from his first wife.
In 85?
Maybe they're talking about Rocky's marriage is on the ropes because it is in Rocky 2.
Remember? No, because the sentence is marriage is on the ropes.
It's written,
comma, but Stallone's hit sequel has KO'd.
Okay, so his marriage in real life is on the ropes.
Yeah.
But he didn't get divorced until 85, which just means that's when it was official, but they could have been separated by then. That's all. Okay, so anyways, that's why it's Rocky's Revenge. So the editors of the film took out the words and just kept Rocky's Revenge. Anyways, okay. Makes sense now, but in the movie it didn't make sense because Rocky had nothing to revenge in the movie. In the Rocky world,
didn't make sense. In the real world, it makes sense.
In the Rocky world, there's no Stallone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fight number 10. It's another white guy. And this is our second appearance of Mr. T. Or sorry. I'm going to call him Mr. T and Clubber throughout, so just bear with me. So this is our second appearance of Mr. T. Now, these fights probably weren't very cheap. These are championship fights. Mr. T. Lang does not have money. Like, he lives...
He lives alone.
He lives alone. He trains alone. You know,
he'll be him alone.
You know, you can tell that he's very humble. In fact, there's a biography on him that he's been in prison. He's out of prison. It's in the Wikipedia bio page because I think there was
Clubber?
Yes, Clubber Lang. Clubber Lang was in prison, but it was never mentioned in the film, but I think it was in the screenplay. The original screenplay, but it was never.
Do you want him to be your cellmate?
Ooh. Oh, man. Okay. Fight number 11. Now we're on to fight number 11. Another magazine pops up in this montage because now they're doing magazine next to the fight. He's now on the cover of Inside Sports. Mm-hmm. And it says on the Inside Sports magazine that Rocky is ready for his sixth title defense. So this is kind of out of order because we're on fight number 10. Correction, fight number 11. But it says that he's ready for his sixth title defense. So whatever, it's out of order a little bit. We're way past the sixth title defense. And this is another fight that's in a huge arena. In this scene, Adrian, the music's going. Because we as an audience hear the Eye of the Tiger. So throughout all of this, that Eye of the Tiger music's still going. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you see Adrian doing this. She's like, pretty much, she's like dancing.
I missed it.
She is dancing to to Rocky's like his success now, because she's watching a boxing fight, right? She's in the crowd, but moving to the cut of the music.
Sure, she's
so excited for her husband's victory that because she looks like she's dancing to Eye of the Tiger. So his next opponent is, I call this guy the balding black guy. He's just got this receding hairline.
Oh, I don't think you need to explain why.
This scene, the montage, if you're familiar with the montage, this is where Rocky is a side shot. You've got the opponent on the left and Rocky on the right when you're facing the movie screen. Stallone slash Rocky leaps in the air almost like a Mortal Kombat and punches the guy on the side of the head. Mm-hmm. Like, he's actually off the... He's off the ground. You have Rocky literally leaping in the air.
Like, as the viewer, is very excited to watch.
And he like punches the guy.
It's the thrill of the fight.
He's rising up. He's rising up literally off the canvas. Punches that poor fellow in the side of the head, and he just crumbles to the canvas. And lastly, the last fight, fight number 13 of this montage. Oh, yeah, this one's very meta.
Okay, yes.
Okay. This one is very 80s. You got the last fight of this montage is you got him on all these screens, but we're watching the fight on the screen, on all the screens.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted to say about that one. It's very meta. Here he hits the guy again. He falls to the canvas, and Mr. T, or Clubber Lang, is now in his third fight. He's watching again, and he leaves the event angry. Rocky does a little bit of a bow. Adrian's cheering. Paulie's staring, angry. And Mr. T does one little – I love how Clubber Lang is leaving the event early while everyone's still celebrating. He does a little quick check over his shoulder and says
– Oh, you seen what you need to see?
Yeah, and moved on. Exactly.
This is what you call foreshadowing. All right?
Because we're going to go – there's more to this montage, but this now is kind of the Mr. T part of the montage. This is the Clubber Lang part and the commercials. We'll talk about that. So this is a good place to stop. So we just saw all the fights. We talked about all the fights that were – So he had 13 fights, 10 title defenses in 3 years. That is busy. That's busy to me.
Yeah, that's more fights than I've had in my whole life.
I know it's a movie. That sounds like a lot of fights in a three-year period.
Yeah, it is.
So it's a good payday for Rocky and the gang. So there you go.
All right. That's awesome.
Eye of the Tiger is still playing. We're going to go into it in the next. So that's episode 43. Next week's episode, we're going to talk about the Mr. T montage that's inside of this montage. It's his training montage inside of this montage. So it gets very montage.
How deep?
This?
I think Christopher Nolan directed this.
This is very Inception. Okay, well, Ruben, anything you want to say?
Ding, ding. Ha 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 ha
Thank you.